And this week, I flip-flopped. That is that political word used in politics. Can't remember the first person they applied that to, but basically it means a person has shifted their position on something. They flip-flopped. I think I prefer John McCain's term. And in honor of him, I will say I prefer to be called a maverick. Now, a maverick, even aside from the way he applied it to himself, a maverick is that wild calf who can't be pinned down and branded for who they belong to, right? So kind of makes sense with John McCain. I'll take that label, but I think more than anything, we have to pin it on Jesus. We are going to have to lay this maverickness on Jesus. Last week, we heard him say that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood if he was going to abide in us and us in him. He said that what we eat, what goes in us, matters. This week, he's telling us that we should not be concentrating so much on what goes in, because it's what comes out that matters. It's our evil intentions that are harbored deep within and how those come out in evil actions. That's what matters, not what goes in. I'm working with what I got here. Now, while his teaching appears inconsistent over these past 2 weeks, and admittedly across two very different gospels, one thing has remained constant here. That is that the teaching this week is just as frustrating and just as unpleasant to the religious leaders, to those traditionalists. It's all just as frustrating and unpleasant as last week's teaching was. Somebody likes tradition. In both of these gospel stories, the religious leaders are so focused on the traditions of the elders. Whether it was a story of manna in the wilderness last week that was their roadblock, their hurdle, or the ritual cleansing that is the roadblock here, either way, these religious traditionalists are so focused on tradition that they are failing to hear the deeper meaning, the flesh and blood meaning that Jesus is trying to get across to them. So Jesus does what he usually does when his hearers don't get it. He quotes scripture. A lot of folks like to do that, right? Quote scripture. Jesus quotes Isaiah, and he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." They honor me with their lips, but not their hearts. They teach human precepts as doctrine. The religious folks in Jesus' day are so fixated on the traditions of the elders. They are so certain that following tradition is the way to be religious. What's happened is that instead of being a helpful aid for people on a faith journey, instead of supporting and enriching lives of faith, the traditions have now become a weight around their necks, rules that have to be followed in order for worship to happen. Their efforts to live faithfully were putting up walls. They were separating themselves from one another and using these rules to segregate rather than drawing people closer to God or closer to their neighbor, which was the intention of the law, the big law handed down to Moses. Their efforts to live faithfully became ways of judging the faithfulness of other people. They became ways of excluding outsiders and outcasts. The traditions of the elders became their religion. They heard the word of God, but they did the traditions of the elders. In modern day terms, we might say it this way: the traditions of the church became our religion. We heard the word of God, but we did the traditions of the church. People are hearers of the word, but not always doers. Both Jesus and James, in the two readings you heard today, both Jesus and James call out to us to think really hard about what constitutes our religion today. It's probably better to say what constitutes our religious practice today. How we do our religion. Are we merely hearers of the word, or do we hear and do the word? Do we have all the rituals and traditions down pat? The Lord's Prayer, with certain words said at a certain time. Doxology, with certain words sung to a certain tune. Here today, even, we've got two rituals happening. Do we do them, or do we just hear them? Jesus and James are asking us to seriously reflect on these traditions. Traditions that are meant to uplift and to nourish and support our journey, but may in fact become weights around our own necks or around the necks of others, making people feel unwelcome or unworthy. Have human precepts become our religion? More importantly, though, really, more importantly, Jesus and James are calling us to think about what happens to our religion when we walk out of this building. When we turn away from the mirror, as James puts it, like the person who looks in the mirror and then, when turning away, forgets what they saw. It's easy, I would say it's natural, for us to hear the word of God proclaimed on Sunday morning, sing the word of God in our hymns on Sunday morning, pray the word of God in our prayers on Sunday morning, and then leave this building and return to our daily lives, forgetting who we are, forgetting whose we are, forgetting the word of life implanted in our souls, forgetting the flesh of Jesus abiding in our flesh. Before we know it, we slip back into our lives that are really separated from the religion that we practice on Sunday morning between 10 and 11 a.m. My point is this: religion. And let me scratch that out. If you are the people who like to have my text, scratch out religion and highlight our religious practice. Our religious practice is not limited to what goes on here within these four walls on Sunday morning within a 60-minute time span, or 65 minutes sometimes, or 70. My kids sat through a 2-hour church service one time. Did just fine. My son went up for an altar call at the end of the worship. That's how well it went. It can't happen. A religious practice does not only happen with our rituals and our traditions and our order of worship prescribed in stone. Here in this building, as we hear the word of God, as we sing the word of God, as we are refreshed and restored by the word of God, we are fed. Lots of us come to church on Sunday mornings to be fed. But we are not simply fed for our own sakes. We are not simply fed for the sake of our own weary soul. We are fed for the sake of the flesh and blood world, where we are sent to be doers of the word. As we partake of communion, as we renew and receive our baptismal vows, the saving word of God, the word made flesh, is implanted in our souls, and it waits to be nurtured. It waits to take root over and above all those other evil intentions that can fester, as Jesus says. This means then that as followers of Jesus, we're going to have to be mavericks, just like he is. Like a calf who cannot be captured and tied up and marked with a brand of ownership, we will need to be mavericks, resisting ownership by a world that moves to judge, to pigeonhole, to oppress, to cast out anyone who doesn't seem to abide by our traditions. The mark we bear is the mark Nora will receive this morning, the mark of our baptism. The mark we bear is the mark of our baptism. And our belonging is in the body of Christ. God's word of grace and mercy and welcome made flesh. To be doers of the word means that we must be bold enough to become what we eat. That means being mavericks. And somehow or other, I have to give a nod to the other great one who was remembered this week and say that we got to throw in a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T and sock it to him when we go out in the world.